Well, let's read the Word of God together some more, should we now? We're going to read the passage right at the end of Matthew's Gospel. We're going to read from Matthew chapter 28, verses 16 through to 20. Matthew and chapter 28, verses 16 through to 20. Again, we're conscious of the importance of God's word, even as we read it together again. So let's hear the word of God. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." Amen. The word of God. We're concentrating on verse 18 this morning. This is a series of six messages based upon these final happenings in the life of the Lord Jesus, recorded in Matthew's Gospel before he ascended back to heaven. As we come into verse 18 now through to the end of verse 20, we're effectively dealing with approximately 50 words that have changed history, perhaps the most important 50 words in history as regards to one single speech, because these are the words which have set up the church of our Lord Jesus Christ for their living for him and for their service for him down the ages ever since. So we're concentrated on verse 18. As I say, this morning we got a sheet that should have picked up as you came in. You can follow the message through this morning as we want to really knowing what the Lord is going to bring into our lives through the consideration of this verse this morning. The title is "Who's in Charge?" Who's in charge? Perhaps we've been in the situation, often it can take place in a work situation, but other situations as well, whereby things are happening in the office or in the factory, and we don't really seem to have any direction. We don't seem to know what is going on. There doesn't seem to be any clear statements being made by those who are in positions of responsibility. And it all seems very confused. And there are people who we don't expect to be giving statements about how things are to be done. And they're saying, "Well, this is the way it should be done." And we're left thinking, who's in charge around here? Seems all very chaotic. And perhaps for many of us, as we view the world and as we see all the things that are going on in the world, we might have a similar response and we think, well, who's in charge around here? Is there anybody responsible for what's taking place on this earth? Well, I simply want to say to you, to start with this morning, which is the summary in many ways of our message, that Jesus Christ is in charge. Jesus Christ is Lord. He's in charge. So who's in charge of Brexit? What do you think about Brexit? Many views about Brexit seem to dominate our news more and more and more until it's coming out of our ears, so to speak. But who's in charge? Who's in charge? Well, ultimately, our Lord Jesus Christ is in charge, because he's in charge of everything. Because our passage will tell us that all authority is with him. And that authority extends to the very smallest of issues as well. Not just the biggest of issues. feel Brexit's a very big issue for this country nowadays. The very smallest details of life. In Matthew 10, we read these words. The Lord Jesus says, "Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground outside your Father's care." Two sparrows? Just a penny? So insignificant. But they're in the Father's care. God is watching over them. And even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. So don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. God is interested in the very, very details of our lives. And God is interested, and God is working, and God is carrying out his purpose in all the details of our lives. So to Job, concerning Job, we read this right at the end of Job 42. All his brothers and sisters and everyone who had known him before came and ate with him in his house. They comforted and consoled him over all the trouble the Lord had brought on him. And each one gave him a piece of silver and a gold ring. Job had some trouble. Serious trouble. He had all his property taken away, family taken away, his health taken away. And what was he to do? What was he to be aware of? He was to be aware that there is a God who is the arranger, even of the very hard circumstances of life, so that this God is working all for good. And we need to believe, even fellow brothers and sisters in Christ this morning, we have a God who is in charge, a God who specializes in bringing good out of evil. And the ultimate example of that is seen in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ in Acts chapter 2, verse 32. Verse 23, when Peter is preaching on the day of Pentecost, he says this concerning the cross, concerning our Lord Jesus, him being delivered by the determined counsel and foreknowledge of God, you have taken by lawless hands, have crucified and put to death. God's purpose was working out through the most evil events of history, even the cross. And what are we saying? All authority is with our God. All authority is with our Lord Jesus. So let us move then to examine our verse in the light of establishing those basic things. First of all, we want to think about our verse, and we just want to think about what does it mean? What does Matthew chapter 28 and verse 11 Matthew 28 and verse 18, what does it mean? And then we're going to think about the implications for us. All authority given unto me in heaven and on earth. That is the statement that is made here by our Lord Jesus Christ. All authority on heaven, in heaven and on earth, given to me. First thing we need to think about then is authority. What is authority? What is authority? What is it when somebody is in authority? What does that bring to mind when somebody's in authority? Who's in authority when you're in school? Who's in authority when you're at home? Who is in authority in the office? Who's in authority? Well, to have authority is to be the one who determines what and how things happen. A person in authority determines what happens and how things happen. That is what it is to be in authority. You have a position where you can determine how things are worked out. And so our Lord Jesus Christ has authority to work out everything for everyone and every happening in the whole of the universe.
because it says all. So we ask the question then, where does the Lord Jesus have this authority? And it is in heaven and on earth, the whole of the universe. That's big, isn't it? It couldn't get bigger in a sense for us to accomplish and get into our minds that the authority of the Lord Jesus is encompassing the whole of the universe. Children, how much do you know about the universe? How big is the universe? What does that mean to us? How much do we know? Well, we can see some stars, can't we? See some stars. What else can we see beyond us? Well, some planets perhaps. Yeah. And then to the very smallest things, even the very smallest insects in a jungle, which are so insignificant and people might just tread on, he has authority over them. Yeah, so it's heaven. He has all authority. So authority is to be able to determine what and how things happen. And then he has all authority. Now, this is a specific statement that's made in Matthew 28 after the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ from the dead. If you read in the Gospels, I'm thinking here, we're in Matthew's Gospel, you read in Matthew's Gospel previously, you will see the display of his authority, the display of the authority of our Lord Jesus Christ. We'll read in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 28, for example, that concerning his teachings, when we read there, when Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, because he taught as one who had authority and not as their teachers of the law. So he's got teaching authority. And then in further on, we will read about how he has authority to forgive sins. And if you look through his ministry, you'll see he has authority over demons. He has authority over sicknesses. He even has authority over death to bring people alive again. So he is able to determine what happens in these situations. So he's demonstrating his authority throughout his ministry on earth. But it is only after his death and resurrection that it says all authority. You see, there's a question that hangs over the ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ until those key events of his crucifixion, his burial, and his resurrection. And the key question is, sin has not been dealt with. Sin has not been dealt with. Sin, the great peril of humanity, the great cause of the death of humanity, the great plague upon this planet. Sin has not been dealt with. Can I give you an illustration here? I give you an illustration about how this connects together. If you're not interested in football, perhaps this won't be so familiar to you. But if you are, perhaps you can connect into it. Imagine the Champions League, and one team has won every match 25-0. Every match they have won 25-0 until they get to the final, and they're facing their opponents in the final. And their opponents in the final, yeah, they're probably a bit better than all the previous opponents, but pretty on a similar level. So, this team who've won all the games 25-0, are these teams going to be the champions or not? Are they the champions or not? Well, in a sense, you would say yes and no. They've beaten everybody else 25-0. It's pretty unlikely they're going to be missing out this time, isn't it? But no on the other side, because they haven't actually won the victory yet. They've got to win the victory. Now, it's a bit like that with our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. He's shown authority in all these other ways before. He's conquered them. He's shown his authority in his teaching, in his forgiving of sins, in his dealing with demons and sicknesses. Is he going to win the victory over sin? Is he going to die and rise again in triumph? Is it going to happen? Well, again, we would say yes and no. But when it has happened, we will say, yes, truly he is the victor. He is the one who has dealt with sin. He has died the death that needs to be died because of sin in the world. He has exhausted the wrath of God against sin, our filth and our terrible rebellion against God has been laid upon him, and he's there and he's gone into death. And is he going to stay in death? No, the resurrection is his victorious triumph, is his declaration that he has triumphed over death. He has dealt with sin through his one offering on the cross. In his resurrection, victory is declared. Victory over death, which ensues from sin. He has won the victory. And so the declaration comes. All authority is with him. No question now. Sin is defeated. He has won the victory, and all authority is his. As we see this developing then with regard to our Lord Jesus Christ, we can tie it in as well with a great promise in the Old Testament concerning one who would come. One who would come into the world. A great Son of Man figure. A remarkable figure. And we read of that in Daniel chapter 7 and verse 13. It says, this is Daniel saying, in my vision at night I looked, and there before me was one like a son of man coming with the clouds of heaven. He approached the Ancient of Days and was led into his presence. He was given authority, glory and sovereign power. All nations and peoples of every language worshipped him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that will not pass away. And his kingdom is one that will never be destroyed. Here is the one given authority, glory, sovereign power. He has an everlasting place where he rules. How long does everlasting go on for? It's forever, isn't it? Forever and ever. And you see, this one has come. This Son of Man figure has come into the world. And who is it? Who is it? It's Jesus. He's the fulfillment of that. And the Ancient of Days, who is a term for God the Father here, has given to him all of these things. All of this authority. Over all. Which raises a question here, which in a sense I've already answered. What's one of the questions that comes out of Matthew chapter 8, 28, verse 18? This, well, who's given him the authority? Who's given it to him? And I take it from that passage in Daniel chapter 7 and verses 13 and 14. It's there in the great plan of God that the Father would bestow upon him who is the eternal Son of God, coming into this world as a man, therefore as the one who is the ultimate man, something of the idea of the Son of Man title. This is the ultimate of what man should be, coming into the world. It is the arrangement of God that all authority would be in heaven and on earth with the one who is the Son of God. And there's a further scripture just to tie in here with regard to how these things are arranged. And these are remarkable things about the great plan of God. So in 1 Corinthians 15... we read of the great working out of God's plan, and Paul says, for he has put everything under his feet. Now, when it says that everything has been put under him, it is clear that this does not include God himself, who put everything under Christ. When he has done this, then the Son himself will be made subject to him who put everything under him, so that God may be all and in all. God is the one who's given everything to be with our Lord Jesus Christ for him to have authority over. But in a sense, God the Father retains that position as the one who is giving authority to God the Son. That is just the harmonious, beautiful outworkings of God's plan. The ultimate one on the throne is that Ancient of Days who passes on this responsibility to the Son, who works it all out. Does he ever fail? No. Always on duty to carry out this perfect authority. Just one final thought upon the meaning of this statement. All authority in heaven on earth has been given to me. Right at the beginning of Matthew's gospel, Satan showed up. Satan made an offer. What did Satan say? He said this. Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said, all these things I will give you if you fall down and worship me. And Jesus said to him, go, Satan. For it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Our Lord Jesus is not going to divert himself from his total desire just to keep going in God's purposes. Satan offered him the kingdoms of this world for a place. God gives him the kingdoms of this world and of the whole universe in a beautiful, dare we say, reward for his obedience in going through all of the devoted service and the ultimate giving of himself on the cross. Satan's way will always shortchange you, will always divert you from the proper way. Always go with God's way. So here is the one with all authority. Here is the one who determines what happens and how it happens in the whole of the universe. All authority secured through his victory over sin by his dying the necessary death and rising again in all-conquering victory. The one who is the great fulfillment of the expectation of Daniel chapter 7 and verses 13 to 14. The one enjoying this provision from the Father in heaven. Well, that is something of the meaning here, something of the meaning of what it is for this statement to be made. I want to now look at eight implications, eight things for us to consider as to what this really would mean as it can work out in our lives. First one is direction. Firstly, direction. What does it say at the beginning of verse 18? It says, then Jesus came to them and said. Then Jesus came to them. Who did he come to? He came to, verse 17, some disciples who had been, to disciples who had worshipped, but some had doubted. And as we thought a fortnight ago, some had been wondering about what all this meant. Some were uncertain about what the future meant. Some were uncertain about where life was going to go. Was it right to follow Jesus? Was it right to throw in everything with him? Should they go another way? What was going on? What did it all mean? And Jesus comes to them and says, listen, I am the one who has all authority. Don't go in another direction. I am the one who is the sovereign controller of everything. There's no other way to go in life other than the way of God. We've seen it already in 1 Kings in chapter 18 this morning, displayed in a sense before our eyes concerning how God displayed who he was as the real and true God through Elijah and the prophets of Baal who were worshipping things that were nothing, were leading people astray. So, come for ourselves this morning, if we're wondering which way to go in life, if we've got doubts, if we've got thoughts and troubles, which we do have, and I confessed before you a fortnight ago, I sometimes wonder, I sometimes am troubled, what is the real meaning of this faith that focuses on Jesus? God says to me and to you this morning, to all of us, there is only one direction to go in. Because Jesus is the one who has all authority. He is the direction. It's to go to him. It's to follow him. It's to go his way. Now you may have those in school, in the office, in your neighborhood who mock anything to do with Jesus Christ. And God is saying to you this morning, stay firm. Stay in the direction of God. And if you've never gone in God's direction, he's saying to you, you've got to do this. You've got to go in the direction of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ has all authority. No other life is worth living, only the life that comes through Jesus Christ. I need to know that afresh today. You need to know that afresh today. Second thing I want to think about is love. Love. The Lord Jesus just doesn't leave those disciples to say, well, you can take it or leave it. It doesn't really matter if you come the right way or not. He has a loving heart to them because he realizes that they need to go in the right direction. His statement in verse 18 is a statement of love. Because he wants the best for them. And he realizes the only best for them is to follow himself, to go in his way. He's saying to them, if you come for me, I'm in control of everything. I am the one you can trust. Perhaps the challenge for us this morning is that we need to go and tell others this. That in the confusions of life, love should motivate us, not just to let our neighbors and our colleagues just to drift on in life, but to tell them, I know one who's in control of everything. I know one who can give you direction in life. I know one who can give you purpose in life. Does it actually show how loveless we are that we say so little to our colleagues and neighbours and friends and families? And I put myself first in the queue, shamed by that statement, really, for so easily we don't get involved to help people in a right direction. And it is not good. Brothers and sisters in Christ. Love should motivate us, not just to leave people where they are, but to say there is one who's in control, and he is the one you should follow. The third thing I want to think about are the implications is victory. Victory. We thought about getting direction in life. We thought about how love should be working out through us. Think about victory. We thought already that this statement comes, this great declaration that all authority is with our Lord Jesus comes on what we might say, on the back of victory, on the fact that he is now risen from the dead. Death is conquered. Jesus is on the throne of the universe, and you can search the whole of the universe, and there is nothing to threaten his authority. There was that, in a sense, question until the death and resurrection. Is sin going to be dealt with? And now sin is dealt with. And victory is declared. Sin has been dealt with. Eternal death has been taken by our Lord Jesus Christ. And we say, come and join the victory. Come and join the victory. Come to Jesus Christ and enjoy the forgiveness of sins, acceptance with God, a future which can never be denied, never be taken away, of blessing and purpose and joy with our Lord Jesus Christ forever. Why, oh why, stay in your sin when you have this one who can give you deliverance from sin forever? Come and trust him. Repent of your sin. Come to the cross and believe in him. Come into the victory. Perhaps I'm speaking to you as a Christian this morning, and you know Jesus Christ, but you've just lost any sense of victory. You just lost any sense that you're on the side of the one who has all authority. And I'm saying to you, come, immerse yourself back in the victory. Come and really seek him who is the victorious one. Come and confess your sin. Come and enjoy that Saviour again. Come and seek him. Perhaps, you've stopped having your quiet time, your personal devotions. Perhaps your time reading God's word and praying has just faded away. And God says to you this morning, come back to the victory. Come back to the side of triumph. Come and engage with me. Come once again and enjoy fellowship with the victorious Lord Jesus. So join the victory. Fourth thing I want to think about is exclusivity. Exclusivity. From verse 18 then, let's do a quick test. From verse 18, how many rulers of the universe? How many rulers of the universe? How many with all authority? One. Any other office? One. And his name is Jesus. He is the one. All other religious leaders are no leaders because there is only one leader with all authority. And dare I say carefully, all those other leaders are subject to him. And every other religion is subject to him. And why there are all these other religions in the world, I don't begin to answer this morning, but I submit to the sovereign rule of God that he has arranged it to be so. But only Jesus Christ is a ruler over all. You just can't have it that Jesus Christ is just one ruler or just one religious leader amongst others. He does not say, I've got some authority and Muhammad's got some authority and whatever guru, whatever has got some authority. No, all authority is with Jesus Christ. And you say, well, that's a bit unfair. That's a bit exclusive. That's a bit but hard on all those who are following other ways. And God says, it's the truth. And I don't want to delude you this morning. It's the truth. So, I just want you to think of this as well. You just can't have it. You know, what a lot of people want to do is, they just want to have Jesus Christ as one religious figure amongst others, don't they? That's pretty common in the world. You know, they put them all together, whoever they might be. Philosophers, religious leaders, different ones, whoever they might be down the ages. And Jesus is just shoved in there as well. But you just can't do it. You just can't do it. Okay, I stand before you this morning. I stand before you and it says, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Well, what are you going to do? I think if you think about it, you really should seriously consider taking me to the mental hospital. Yeah? That's just delusion, isn't it? For me to say all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. A mere man. It's just delusion. I'm a nutter. A complete nutter. And I say with all reverence to you this morning, if Jesus Christ has said this, he is either a complete nutter or he truly is the sovereign Lord of the universe. He is not just another religious leader. Yeah? You just can't have that. So challenge those who say, well, okay, Jesus, yeah, he did this, he did that. Particularly prevalent with Islam. They'll have Jesus to a degree. Just say, he said that. You just can't accept that he's just a religious with, he just shares authority with other religious leaders. You just can't have that. Because if he says this, he's either truly the only religious leader or to be totally rejected and you can have all your other religious leaders. But please don't put Jesus in there. He's either sovereign or on his own or he's nothing. And I'm telling you for absolute clarity this morning that he is the sovereign one. This is true. This is real. Everything about the Bible, everything about history, everything about the personal experience of so many in this room declares him to be the Lord of the universe and the Lord of our souls. He's Lord. Okay. Fifth one I want to think about this morning. He is God. He is God. Just an illustration here. If I run a business, and I go away on holiday, say for a month, and I'm out of contact, who do I put in charge of the business? Who do I put in charge of the business to keep the business going? Who do we put in charge? The cat? The rabbit? Who do I put in charge? Another human being, don't I? With suitable qualifications, but another human being. There's only God who can do this stuff in verse 18. It's only God who can be the one who has all authority. It's only God who can do this. In a sense, God the Father has given to God the Son this incredible responsibility. Sharing the eternal, working out of the eternal plan of God. Here is the eternal Son of God, the one who has all authority. Sixth thing I want to think about is evangelism. He has all authority, therefore he has all authority to save people. So evangelism is not an uncertain activity. It is a declaring to people the great good news of Jesus Christ, knowing that he saves sinners because he has all authority to save sinners. And so we can be encouraged that evangelism is a vital activity. And of course, that is the setup of the verses in Matthew chapter 28, isn't it? Because verses 19 and 20 basically says, go and be evangelistic. On the basis of verse 18, go and make disciples, go and baptize. Seventh thing is lordship. If he has all authority, what does that mean we should do? If he has all authority, what does that mean we should do? If you turn up at your workplace tomorrow and you know there are certain people in authority, what should you do? You should do what they say. Else you're likely to have bad consequences. And Jesus is in control of the whole universe. He's in control of your life and my life. So what should you do? You should do what he says. You should obey him. And you go to his word and you find out what's in his word and you do it. And if you're struggling to do it, you say, Lord, help me to understand your word and help me to do it. If you're not a Christian, you're called to obey the gospel. Submit to Jesus Christ. Confess your sins. Come to the cross. Know the refreshing renewal that comes through the blood of Jesus Christ, cleansing you from all your heinous sins. Obey the gospel. Repent and believe. Fellow believers, if these verses mean everything, anything, they mean that we should be serious about obedience. Finally, as regards to the implications, help. Have you got a problem this morning? There's one who can help. Is your problem too big or too off the radar? It's not for Jesus, because he's got all authority. There's not a problem. There's not an issue he can't deal with. So what's in your heart and mind this morning? Is it a relationship difficulty? Is it a problem with a child? Is it a problem at work? Is it a problem of health? Is it a problem of direction in life? Is it a problem? Whatever it is, here is one who can help you in your situation. So those are 8 things for us to consider. The implications of him having all authority. Let's come to a conclusion. I just want to mention 2 things in conclusion. The first thing is, could it turn bad? Could it turn bad? You know, could actually, you know, because this is what it happens in this world, isn't it? People get into authority, and what happens? It often goes bad, doesn't it? Seriously bad sometimes. Go to some countries and everything's a complete mess because the wrong person's got into authority. So is it going to go bad? It's never going to go bad with Jesus. Just look at his ministry. Have you seen how he made well people sick? Have you seen how he put demons into people? Have you seen that? Did he do that? Never did he. See, all of his miracles, they're all about helping people, healing people, delivering people, giving people life. He's in the business of doing good. So it'll never go wrong with Jesus. Polycarp's an amazing man. He died around AD 155, and it said this concerning Polycarp. When he was facing death for his stand for Christ, he says, undeterred, the proconsul pressed Polycarp further to deny Christ. Polycarp declared, 86 years I have been his servant, and he has done me no wrong. How can I blaspheme my king who saved me? 86 years I've served him, and he's done me no wrong. He's good. Final thing, how long is it going to last? How long is it going to last? Well, that takes us right back to those statements in Daniel in chapter 7 concerning him. It says he was given authority, glory and sovereign power. All nations and peoples of every language worshipped him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that will not pass away. And his kingdom is one that will never be destroyed. If you connect to Jesus and the one who has authority, how long is it going to last?
Forever.
Forever. And ever. And ever. So Jesus has got all authority. Come and bind yourself to him. Bind yourself a fresh fellow Christian. And know that the one who is the God who answers by fire in Elijah's day is the God who is Jesus Christ with all authority today.